Have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, please, and then keep something there as we move around to a few other verses. That'll be on page 1185 if you have a Scofield Bible, King James Old Scofield Bible. Acts chapter 26, one verse, verse number 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings we've had on this Easter Sunday morning in our church. Thank you for the great crowd that's here, and thank you for the blessings of all the good music. Now we come down to this most important part of any service, the preaching of your word. And I know there's a lot of activities going on, and I know the kids are thinking about going to get the candy, and all those kind of things are going on. But I pray for these next few minutes that you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you cause all the folks to pay close attention and listen and remove from their minds the activities that they got planned maybe later this day. Help us to concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those in this auditorium who may be lost. Reclaim those who may be backslidden. And work a work in all of our hearts in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, of course, is Easter Sunday. All over this world, people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Pastors around the world are preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, and yet many who are preaching that do not believe it themselves. Millions and millions of people are attending church services all around the world this morning, and many of them doubt the resurrection. And millions of others wish they could believe in the resurrection, and yet they have some doubts. Well, Paul anticipated that this would happen, so he asks a question here in our text verse for this Easter Sunday morning of 2010. He says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Have any of you folks ever found yourself out at the graveside of a loved one? And you have wondered as you're out there, is there a world beyond this world? Is there a world somewhere else where we're all going to be and live again and see these loved ones again? I'm sure we all have. Over 500 times I have stood at the casket after conducting a funeral service, and I've watched the people as they've been dismissed, and then they ask me to stay and witness because sometimes the family wants a ring taken off or a watch taken off or whatever, and they like for me to witness that. And then it comes, they all got all that done, then they're getting ready to close the lid. And as they do, I stand there by the casket, and I look at that person, and I call them by name, and I say, I'll see you soon. But I sometimes ask myself, is it really true? Will I really see them again? And then the Lord reassures me, yes, you will. It is true. Every person who has ever lived has asked this question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Is there life after this, or is it all in when this life's over? Is there coming a day when God is going to resurrect those bodies from the graves, make them all over again? Is there a day when we are going to have our bodies renewed and transformed by the power of God? Is Dick Spence, Betty Proctor, Clarence Vaughn, Modesto, Joanne Welch, Helen Burkhart, and scores of others who sat under my ministry and left us, are they happy? Are they alive? Are they in a place called heaven? Is there a place called heaven? Are they all alive, or does death end it all? Paul didn't think so. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? So what are some of the problems with believing in a literal bodily resurrection? Doctors and scientists and physiologists tell us that no part of our body is the same as it was 7 years ago. They say that every cell has undergone a change and every cell has died out and new cells have taken their place and the body's not the same as it was 7 years ago. And yet our bodies look pretty much the same as they did 7 years ago. It seems to me wherever I go, I run into people that were a part of Greenbush Street Baptist Church. I'm convinced everybody in America was at that church at some time or another. We were out the mall walking a few days ago, and somebody came up from behind. They said, Pastor Chase. And I turned around, and I looked at, and there was a lady there, and I didn't recognize her. But she said, I attended Greenbush Street Baptist Church many, many years ago. And she recognized me, even from the back. She recognized the ladder. Pretty easy to recognize. And then a few days after that, we were over to visit Winnie McGee in the nursing home. We was walking through the hallway, and somebody else in the back said, Pastor Chase. And it was another lady that had attended Greenbush. And she said, I remember the day you baptized me. I thought you were going to drown me. It happens everywhere we go. And after all these years, she recognized me. So when I speak this Easter Sunday morning of a resurrection from the grave, I'm speaking of the body that will be raised someday. Maybe not the same body I was born with. Maybe not the same body it was 7 years ago. But it has the same identity. It contains the same soul and spirit. And I am the same person. But in that resurrected body, I'm going to have a brand new, glorified, transformed body made that way by the power of God himself. Another problem some have with the resurrection is that all who have ever died, their bodies have turned back into the dust from which they were made. Millions and millions and millions of people have been born into this world, lived in this world, died in this world, and their bodies have been laid away somewhere. Bodies that have been torn asunder by wild animals. Bodies that have been blown to bits by war. Bodies that have been taken to the bottom of the ocean. Bodies that were burned beyond recognition. When you look back on 6,000 years of human history and you multiply each generation by that generation, all the generations that have gone by, multitudes and multitudes of people have died. Their bodies are now laid to rest somewhere in this world in which we live. So thousands of years have gone by and millions of people are no longer in existence. How in the world can God ever raise all of them back again? If there really is a God in heaven, how can he pull this off? Another problem some have with the resurrection is, well, maybe God can raise one or two bodies. Maybe that can happen. The Bible says that every person who has ever lived is going to be raised, but how can God do that? Maybe one or two, but how can he do everybody who's ever lived? We can understand a little bit how God raised Lazarus from the dead. We believe that. The Bible says that. But that's just one person, and he died again. It's somewhat easy to believe that prophet of God standing by that young maiden whose name was Dorcas, and he takes her by the hand and says, maid, arise, and that woman comes back to life again. Or the young man that fell from the balcony. Paul was preaching, and he was a long-winded preacher, certainly not this one. And he was preaching a long, long sermon. It got to be around midnight, and that fellow, he just could not handle it anymore. He went to sleep and fell off the balcony. He was killed. I want to warn you folks a little bit this morning, sitting out there in those pews that are about to go to sleep. You be careful. You might fall off of those pews and hurt yourself, and I don't want you to do that. So do your best to stay awake. So Paul goes down, and he puts his hands on that dead body, and it comes back to life again. Now, that's not too hard for us to believe. But to think about all of mankind being raised from the dead, never to die again, that's a little bit more difficult to believe. The Bible teaches that there will be 1,000 years between the resurrection of those who are in Christ and the resurrection of those who are outside of Christ. I want you to look with me, keeping your finger there in Acts, at the resurrection of those who have died in Christ, those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and those who one day will. Go to your right just a little bit from where you are, to your left just a little bit, to the book of John, the 5th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 5, page 1121 in your King James Scofield Bible. The Lord is speaking. And I notice what he's saying in verse number 28, John 5 and verse 28, page 1121. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good in the resurrection of life, that's those who have accepted Christ as Savior, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of damnation, that's the folks who do not accept Christ as Savior. Now there's another resurrection 1,000 years later after the Christians are resurrected, and that's the resurrection of all who have rejected Christ. So let's go to the last book of the Bible, next to the last chapter, the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, Revelation chapter 20, and look with me at verses 5 and 6, page 1350, Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead, those who reject Christ, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So all mankind, everybody who has ever lived, is going to be resurrected from the dead, and they must face their Creator one day and face him in judgment. Those of us who have trusted in Christ, who will be raised at the first resurrection, we're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Then those who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior will be judged at what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. But notice again, back to our text verse again, what Paul said in Acts 26 and verse number 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Do you notice a word in that verse that removes all doubt and all problems that we might have with the resurrection? It's the word God. When you put God into the resurrection, it's not too hard to believe it. If God could and did create this world, He can and will resurrect our bodies. If He didn't create this world, then where did it come from? If He didn't create you and me, where did we come from? Now, please, don't try to push off on me that evolution stuff. I am not very bright, but I'm not stupid. And I could never muster up enough faith to believe in evolution. I suppose most of you have a watch on your arm. I'm not dressed if I don't have my watch on. What if I were to take my watch all apart, put all of those pieces in a box, and keep them in that container for a million years, a billion years, or a trillion years? Would they ever by themselves come back together again and be a watch and tick again? Of course not. If God could create this world, and we know that He did, if God could put the sun up yonder in the heavens to shine and cause the moon to reflect His glory and splendor up on this earth, and if God could cause this earth to turn and rotate on its axis every 24 hours, if God could put the stars in the sky that twinkle, and if we could just look up and see God's handiwork in the heavens, if God can do all of that, then God can surely someday resurrect these human bodies from the grave. If God could resurrect, somehow this morning, if God could resurrect some of our great, great, great grandparents and come back, they would never believe the changes in this world. Think about the changes of your and my generation. Think about the changes of electronics. Let me give you just a little example. I have a little camera. It's about a 3x4. It's a very small camera. This is the film in that camera. You can't hardly see it. It's not even an inch square. And yet, in this film right here, I have over 450 pictures this size. And I got more to go. Now, that to me is a real miracle. And all the other gadgets that's invented that these kids know all about today, they are miracles. We take it so, we don't understand it. How can all of these miracles take place in your and my generation? It's a day of miracles, and yet we just take it nonchalantly because we see it every day. But if God can do all of that in our world, even in our lifetime, then God certainly one day can take the body of a human being and raise it from the dead and make it in fashion and likeness after His glorious body. The Old Testament mentions several times about the resurrection. Let's just look at a few examples of that. Go back in the Old Testament to the book of Job. If you can find the book of Psalms right in the middle of the Bible, it's the one next to it. The book of Job, the 19th chapter, it's on page 581. 581, Job chapter 19. And look with me at verse number 25. And notice what Job says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He says, I know my Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know He was resurrected. I know He was dead and buried and rose again. I know He's coming back one day to this earth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, my body's going to die, my body's going to return to dust, yet one day I'll be resurrected, and in my flesh, he says, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. Oh yes, Job, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he believed in the resurrection. Let's go to your right a little bit to the next book, the book of Psalms, the 16th chapter. Psalm 16, page 605, the 16th Psalm. And look with me at verses 9 and 10. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or that means the grave. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, talking about Christ, to see corruption. They say that corruption begins on the fourth day after death. Our Lord was in the grave 3 days and three nights and rose from the dead. His body did never begin to corrupt. So he saved him. He was resurrected. Let's go to your right a little bit further to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, page 735. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 19. Isaiah 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah believed in the resurrection. Let's keep going over your right to near the end of the Old Testament to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel chapter 12. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me, or listen carefully. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, those that have accepted Christ as Savior, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, those who have rejected Christ as Savior. So the Apostle Paul one day stood before King Agrippa, and he says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Let's go over to Romans. Go to your right, just over to the book of Romans and the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, page 1201. Romans chapter 8, page 1201. Look at verse number 11. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you are a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you at that moment of salvation, and he lives in there. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised the Lord from the dead, and it's the same Holy Spirit that will raise you one of these days. Go to your right just a little bit further to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, page 1260. Philippians chapter 3. And look with me at verses 20 and 21. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. There's another proof of the resurrected, physical resurrection, and that's the spiritual resurrection that takes place when we get saved. If you would, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John again in the 5th chapter. John chapter 5, page 1121. And look at verse number 24. John 5, 24. Notice the Lord is speaking, what he says in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Before we came to know Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And then one day we heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. We accepted him. We believed what the Bible said about him. We accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And he resurrected us spiritually to a new life. We began to live differently than we did before. Old things began to pass away. All things began to become new. And we were spiritually resurrected. That spiritual resurrection guarantees us a physical resurrection. But the greatest proof of all that there will be a resurrection one day must take us back some 2,000 years. On that first Easter Sunday morning, our Savior was raised from the grave by the power of God, went back to heaven, sat down at the Father's right hand, and promised that he would one day raise all the dead and take the living in Christ and take them home to be with him in heaven, and we'll live with him throughout all the endless ages of eternity. Look at how the Holy Spirit gives that to Paul in the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you'll turn there with me just a moment. 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, the great rapture verse, page 1269 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17 and 18. For the Lord himself, and by the way, this is the very next major event on God's calendar that could happen this morning. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. On that awful, awful night, three nights before he was to come out of the grave, they placed our Lord in that darkened tomb. They put a stone around the door. They put a garrison of Roman soldiers around the place where the Lord lay. Then they sealed it with the Roman government seal. The followers of Christ were all saddened and disappointed. They thought their new religion had failed them. Now, no doubt, they would take their lives. The Christ rejecters would take their lives from them also. 72 hours go by. God dispatches an angel, sends him down to this earth from heaven. He removes the stone. Jesus steps out and leaves the grave closed. He appeared to his disciples. He showed them his hands and his feet where the nails had pierced them. He opened up his cloak and showed them his side where the sword had pierced his side. Then he took them outside of the city. He blessed them and was taken up into heaven and sat down at the Father's right hand. Today, as we do every day here in our church, we are celebrating his glorious resurrection. But we're also looking for his coming back to resurrect those who have died in Christ and to give those of us who are alive, which I believe we may be that generation, our new glorified, resurrected bodies, and take us to home, to heaven, and we'll be reunited with all of our loved ones who are in Christ, and we'll live with them forever and forever and forever. The same Christ who had the power to break off the shackles of sin and death and hell and all that goes with it is one day going to come back in all of his glory and set up his kingdom on this earth, and it's going to last forever and ever. His kingdom will last 1,000 years upon this earth, and then it'll be in heaven. So for those of us who are in Christ, we are going to be resurrected from the grave one day. But I must warn you folks this morning, if you're not in Christ, if you've never had a personal relationship with him, if you've never had him to come into your heart and life, I want you to know when you're resurrected, it won't be to go to heaven, but it'll be to go to hell. Look with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, page number 1004. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 and following. Again, the Lord is talking. If you don't have a Bible, listen very carefully at these. If you're not sure you're saved, listen very carefully at these words. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father is that we accept his Son as Lord and Savior. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, religious people will go to hell and spend eternity there because religion don't get you into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that gets you into heaven. In the land of Korea, there was a missionary who for 15 years had served God along with his faithful wife. Then there came a time when his wife died and went to the other side. But in the last few moments on her deathbed, she said to her husband, honey, I don't want you to cry. You're going to get me back one day. But in the course of his heart, there was anguish and there was discomfort because his wife, who had lived with him for so many, many years, was about to die. Yet again, as she looked into his face, it seemed as though she could feel his own feelings of grief and sorrow. And she said again, honey, please don't cry. You're going to get me back one day. A short time later, she did die and went out to be with Jesus. It wasn't long after that, in fact, just 1 month after that, that their little 4-year-old boy passed away. And there just before he died, he was talking to his daddy, and he said, Daddy, I don't want you to cry either. He had remembered his mother's passing, and he remembered her leaving this life and going out to be safe in the arms of Jesus. And then just before the little fella passed on, he said, Daddy, Daddy, I see a great light. I see a great light. And Daddy, it's Mama. It's Mama. It's Mama. And I want to go. I want to go. But Daddy, don't cry. You'll get me back one day. Out of the graveside service, that father put a little lily on that little mound of dirt. Let the tears fall down upon it. And while he stood over that grave, he made a determination in his heart that he was going to go back to those little places where he had preached. And with all the vim and vigor that he could muster up, he was going to continue telling the old, old story, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was raised from the dead again, and through him we can have hope of seeing our loved ones once again. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father, we thank you for the story of the cross, the empty tomb, the promise that you'll come back one day, the promise that you gave that we will one day have glorified, resurrected bodies. We thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you there's power in the resurrection to save all who do not know Christ. There's power in that resurrection to save those in this auditorium this morning who do not have a personal relationship with Christ. And while our heads are bowed and while our eyes are closed, are you sure if life ends today, you'd go to heaven? If you have some doubts, then probably you're not going to go to heaven and you need to trust in Christ. Oh, I know you know all about him. I know you know he was resurrected. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but you know the Bible teaches that. If you're not sure of your salvation, would you make sure? While you're sitting there in that pew this morning, if you believe in his death and burial and resurrection, if you believe he's the Son of God and God the Son, then why don't you receive him? Silently, if you'd like to receive him, breathe a little prayer from your heart to God's heart and mean it and say something like this silently. Dear God in heaven, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died on the cross. I believe he paid my sin debt. I believe he was raised from the dead. And I'm trusting in Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and save me, and give me a home in heaven one day. And I thank you for saving me. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, maybe somebody did sincerely just pray that prayer and you meant it with all of your heart. If you did, while nobody's looking but God and I, would you just slip your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer with you. I'm trusting in Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else, just slip it up and put it right back down. I prayed that prayer. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Are there any others? I'm trusting in Christ. Father, in a crowd this size, there has to be people unsaved. And maybe some's just a little bit ashamed or bashful to raise their hand and make a commitment. But you see the hearts, and that's where it counts. But I pray if there is one that's still not sure, that they will become sure, that before it's forever too late, that they will accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I ask you to bless the invitation as only you can do and help folks make decisions this morning that they'll be glad 100 years from now they made. In Jesus' name, amen.